My name is Chandrasekhar. I go by Chandra. Usually people call me Dr. Chandra or Professor Chandra or something. I am a retired physics professor. I came to University of Missouri in around 1975. And I worked there many years in all capacities, including as the chair of the department. And recently I have retired from the department.
And you are not from around here natively. Where did you come from?
I'm originally from India, but I did all my graduate studies in the United States. And then I was a research scientist at Germany, at the Max Planck Institute. And then I was invited to come here in 75.
Before you came to the United States, did you grow up immersed in a Hindu household? Was Hindu religion an important part of your early years?
Well, in fact, in my case, it's a bit unusual. For my age, I sort of have seen India, which is practically of the last century, I could say, because I was born and raised in a small village in which there was not even electricity when I was growing up. And it was a very, what you can call, a backward village. But we made up for all the things we didn't have in technology and so on by the kind of traditions and culture which we had for thousands of years. So the highest education I could get in that village was high school. And once I graduated from high school, I left that village. So those were the formative years of my life. And I should say those are also the happiest years of my life.
What was it about them that contented you so much?
Well, one thing is, even though I came from a very poor family, we didn't even know we were poor. That was the best thing. So that we coped with all those things. And at no time when I was growing up, I felt that there were things which I couldn't do or which I couldn't aspire for. We all spend a lot of money and go and watch all these expensive movies with special effects because we want to get a thrill. But I didn't have to worry about any of those when I was growing up because the Hindu mythology is full of fantastic stories of great imagination where gods and demons came and all kinds of fantastic things happened. It rained flowers in the sky and, you know, all kinds of magical things would happen. So in that sense, I enjoyed those things. There is a religious aspect to that, which some people take it from that point of view. But as far as I was concerned, it was a source of great imagination and a certain way of understanding the world around us.
How does Hindu mythology explain eclipses?
Well, you know, eclipse is such a fantastic phenomenon. Imagine 5,000 years ago, on a fine afternoon, there is a bright sun, there are no clouds, and all of a sudden the sun disappears. And this could be something you have to explain, and all kinds of fantastic stories come in. Yeah, the eclipse story comes as a sort of an aside in some other larger story. In this one, there were two clans of people in the beginning of Hindu imagination. They were called Suras and Asuras. They were actually cousins, but they fought among each other always. But of course, they had a common desire, which is to become immortal. So they had heard that there was an ocean which contained all the riches, and if they could explore that one, they could get ambrosia, the elixir of life, which could make them immortal. So they did obtain this ambrosia and a few other goodies as well. The gods intervened because once you drink this nectar, you become immortal. And if an evil person does that, then you have a problem forever. The Supreme God, in the form of an enchantress, came. She managed to distribute this nectar only to the good people, not giving it to the bad ones. And in this process, there were two guys who saw this trick, and they disguised themselves, and they infiltrated this group. And one was Rahu, and the other one was Ketu. And they were just about to drink this nectar, and so immediately the gods severed the head of these demons. But of course, it was a bit too late, because they had already drunk the nectar. So these demented demons who survived from this one, but because of what sun and the moon did, they periodically torment them by causing these eclipses. So this is how the story comes in. Of course, there are lots of other details associated with that. But basically, this is how there is an ancient book called Bhagavata, which goes back to several thousand years. In that one, the story of how the people who obtained the nectar became the demigods, and the ones denied of it were the demons, and the conflict struggle between the good and the bad.
And that is our program for this evening, Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Our thanks to Dr. Chandra Seeker, also to Angela Speck, our earlier guest. We'll be back next week with another Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Till then, for Associate Producer Trevor Harris, I'm Darren Helwedge. Have a great evening.